Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
There you go. Yesterday, when our guy Emmanuel Sanders was in here with our actual guy, D-Mac, they talked about being a captain on the football team. And Emmanuel had a very fascinating comment in response to that.
By the way, it's time for you to be a captain, okay?
Yeah. That's been hurting me, too.
Yeah, okay.
It should. That's been hurting me.
Why hasn't that happened?
They always go with the quarterback.
Do you think the players' votes get actually counted?
I don't think so.
No, okay.
That's just truth. That's just truthfully, no. Like,
I want players, to make sure
they always walk to me like, yo, I voted for you. Yeah. And me and Demaryius and Meg, like.
No, the worst was, like, last year was a mess. And last year, like, why wasn't Demaryius the captain again? Nothing against Matt Paradis.
Yeah.
But
I mean, obviously the players voted at least me or Demaryius.
Yeah,
everybody was telling us, but the coach is always going to make a decision. Okay. Like, Case Keenum was just coming in. And I mean, it's all conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy. The captain. The elusive captaincy. It's a conspiracy, Orlando. Are you a conspiracy guy? I think so. You'll believe anything on the internet. But anyway.
I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think this is the harsh reality of it. The coaches will tell you, hey, you get the vote. You know, each player gets a vote for two people on his side of the ball. They give us these sheets, right? If you're an offensive player, it just says, hey, two offensive players, and then you get to vote for one captain on special teams.
Oh, so you don't vote the defense.
We don't vote
the
defense. Right? And, I mean, it makes it easier for them to tally it up and to figure out the numbers, right? So you go there and you fill out your sheet. And you fill it out, you fold your paper, and then you slide it all the way down. And there's some quality control people at the end of the chairs that are collecting them. And then it's announced later on.
Do you have to show ID when you vote?
Yeah, right? But coaches are going to make who they want to be the captain. If they didn't want to do it that way, you know, and they ultimately get to say, this is the NFL. Literally, this is the NFL. You could sit there, all 53 guys on this roster, we all love and respect each other. You could literally sit there. If the coaches did not want to have a deciding factor and be able to veto it, you could call a team meeting room. And you know who the top five guys that could potentially be the captain. And you could literally say, hey, who all votes for Demaryius? Put your hand up. And guys could literally just put their hand up.
But they could influence each other. We learned that in elementary school.
But that
school.
Literally takes it away from the captain. It takes it away from the coach's hands.
So why do they
fill it out that way. So they want to see what the players are thinking. And then if the players are not thinking exactly what they're thinking, they have to decide and vote.
So the players' votes is more of a, they're just trying to get a pulse of the team. It's a mirror. This is what we suggest as a team. But the coaches don't really sit there and say, okay, 20 votes for Case Keenum. He's the guy.
Yeah.
It's a, well, they like DT, but we think it's best for the team if we slap that C on this guy.
Yeah. They also help and say, hey, this is the direction that we're going
to
go.
Why do you think it matters to Emmanuel so much?
Think how easy it is to be able to do it that way. There's only 53 guys on the roster. There's only 53 votes. When you look at offense, only voting for offense, there's probably 25 players on the offense, right. 26.
Maybe, yeah.
So literally you could get that done so quick where it's just like, okay, yep, he's our captain. I would be interested to see how many players voted for Emmanuel, how many players voted for Demaryius Thomas, and how many players must have voted for Case Keenum, because apparently he won it, and even Matt Paradis. I mean, yeah, that's what they like to see, you know, offensive lineman and their quarterback. But, I mean, even if the whole offensive line votes for Matt Paradis, that's 9 votes. Like, the other votes could have went other places. You know, the other 16 votes could have went other places. So it's just hard, you know, especially for knowing like a guy like Matt Paradis' character, which is he's typically a quieter guy, but yeah, he's a leader by how he plays. But when you vote him for captains, it's always been guys that I've been around that, hey, their knowledge of football is so great, but literally they're just so likable because of, you know, they're trying to be the guy that lightens the mood, but they're very serious about football at the same time. And you physically and you mentally just believe that he's a leader. And
how many captains? It's only one captain offense, one captain defense, one captain special teams, or is there two on each one?
So teams that I've been on is two on offense, two on defense, and then I've been on teams where they've done two on special teams and or one on special teams.
Okay, so with you guys, obviously Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Obviously. And then who did it go to? Was it like Chris?
Chris Cooper. When we were younger, Peyton Manning, Chris Cooper. And then I don't even remember. I mean,
It seems to bother Emmanuel that he hasn't been captain of the team. Is it maybe because he knows it comes from the organization?
I think Emmanuel brought that up, or it bothered him in how it was brought up yesterday. Because you know when he got here yesterday and he sat down, he immediately said, "Well, you said that I wasn't a leader on this team. Well, are you saying that because I haven't been a captain?" Is that the reason? So I think Emmanuel was speculating that DMAC was saying the whole, well, you know, this is what I've heard, that you're not a leader. This is what I believed a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So now with Emmanuel saying, hey, it's a conspiracy, like I don't have no control over that. People have said that I should have been the captain. I think that now that's where it came from. I don't think that it bothers him.
Well, could it bother? My question would be because...
Real quick. So with John Fox, right? John Fox used to take the preseason games to let the other guys that were on the brink of being a captain, but you knew wasn't going to make it because of a Peyton Manning, a Chris Cooper.
Orlando Franklin.
He'd let the guys be captains for that game. Like, so the night before games and preseason, like, hey. Yeah, so we would change it up every week Fox was here.
That's cool.
For the first four preseason games, it would literally change. And guys that were... You know what? Like a guy like Ryan Clady, but you had Chris Cooper on the team. So Chris Cooper was going to be the team captain for the year. Okay, Ryan, here's the first preseason game. You're going to be the captain for this game. You're going to be one of our team captains. And he would switch it up that way. And it was great because you got the experience. When you were one of the top dogs on the team, you were those top 10 players. You got to be captains for the preseason games. At some point that year, you were a captain. And then during the season now, guys like Peyton for the offense, guys like Elvis Dumervil or whoever, DeMarcus Ware, you know, those guys were the obvious guys during the year. But you still got an opportunity to represent your team as a captain when right at the start of a game.
This is a dumb question. Did you get the C on your jersey for that game?
No.
Oh, no. That's the best part.
Yeah.
That's the patch. It's like Cub Scouts. That's the best part.
I want me to talk to the guys over there at Death Valley?
Yeah. Oh, of course. You can give me a Broncos captaincy.
Okay. I'll get it done. You're going to stitch it on one of your jerseys?
I'll stitch it on the one you gave me.
The only way I'll get you to see is if you physically sew it on yourself.
I can't ruin a jersey. I can't sew.
I guess you're not getting to see.
I have a quick question.
You can literally YouTube everything nowadays.
So I know you can YouTube
how to stitch it, hand stitch it on the jersey.
But the only way for you to know if I was stitching it would be for you to sit and watch me.
I need a video.
Oh, you need a video.
Or you got to do it one day after one of our shows on the weekend.
I've got to stitch the C on the jersey you gave me.
That's the only way I'm going to get you a
C. I've got an Orlando Franklin jersey. Wait, this is a trick to get me to call you. Thank you. This is if I put the C on your jersey, I'm admitting that you're the captain of the show. This is a trick.
What did Peyton say to Zach a couple of days ago or a couple of weeks ago on Twitter? He's like, yeah, you know, I just carry Zach. That's my day job.
No, Stokely said that. Peyton's not tweeting.
Yeah, Stokely. Sorry. Stokely was said that my job is I just carry Zach by and I'm his Peyton Manning.
So you relate to that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he hit it right on the head, and I was like, man, who else is in the same situation? I was like, yeah, that is me and John's relationship. That's exactly how it works.
Okay, so Captain Franklin, thank you. He gives me the jersey and then uses it to make me feel bad. Anyway, is there a player in this draft that the Denver Broncos should consider moving up for? That's next. Earlier this morning, our guys, Cecil and Pritchard, they were talking about players that the Broncos could or should move up for.
But you're not going to move up, and the Drew Lock thing is the Raiders thing, which we've talked about. The Raiders are in almost constant contact with Drew Lock. So take that for whatever it's worth. The Raiders, and John Gruden specifically, really like Drew Lock. So is he even going to be there at 10? And are you going to move up for either one of these guys? The answer's no. You're not going to do that. You shouldn't do that. You should sit at 10. If you're going to move up for anyone, move up for Devin White.
That's our guy Cecil Lammy talking about Drew Lock had his pro day yesterday, and Cecil dropping some knowledge. Listen to him when he talks about Drew Lock and possibly the Raiders being in on him. So if the Broncos liked Drew Lock, they'd have to move up for him. I don't think they should do that at all.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so yeah,
I 100% agree. Let's just look at the big picture for a second, John. If the Broncos liked Drew Lock, right, why would we then have traded away Case Keenum, and now we're eating $7 million in dead money, and then all, traded for Joe Flacco to bring him in? It just makes no sense.
No, like, it doesn't.
You went and saw him at the Senior Bowl. If you liked him, we would have a fourth-round pick in this year's draft. We would have another pick right now if we liked Drew Lock.
Because we wouldn't have got Joe Flacco.
Exactly.
Cecil kind of touched on what you've been touching on for a while today, which was John Elway was up in the booth at the Senior Bowl. They got to see. Now, they are going to meet with Drew Lock. But that could be whatever.
It's a smoke screen, man.
It's a smoke screen.
Did you hear Purchase drop the mic today?
Oh, of course. I hear it every day.
Man, I loved it. I mean, I love where he's coming from. Hey, you tell people, hey, look here. You know what I mean? This is what we might do. We're bringing in Drew Lock. We're going to bring in Dwayne Haskins. We're going to do our evaluation process. We're going to properly vet these quarterbacks because we're really looking for the quarterback of the future. And then my team now... Broncos get on the line and a Drew Lock or a Dwayne Haskins drops to 10, and now you say you're the Dolphins, say you're the Redskins, that's probably looking for a long-term fix because, yeah, you got Case this year, but you're looking for at least another 3 or 4 year fix, and you don't know if Case is going to be that guy. Now you go and call the Broncos because you know, and perception wise, I mean, you think that they're going to take either Drew Lock or Dwayne Haskins because they've been bringing them in. So now you get on the phone with the Broncos and, hey, we'll swap you your first round picks and we'll give you next year's first round pick.
I want that so bad.
Oh, man, that would be the best for the Broncos.
It's the best case scenario.
So that, for me now, you know, the Broncos are just going about it the right way. And John Elway, I mean, you could hate him for the 2017 draft class?
If anybody hates John Elway, shame on them. But yes, 2017 draft class was a nightmare.
You could hate him for that, yeah. But like our man Zach said this past week on the drive, I mean, arguably, since last year when the Broncos had the draft to this year where we're at right now with the draft class that he brought in.
The firing of
VJ, the bringing in Vic Fangio, the assembling that head coach, the people that assembling that coaching staff, the people that we brought in so far this year in free agency. It could, when you look back at it in a year or two, you could be like, man, he actually really did get it right. Mm-hmm. And now this is just another move that you're making the right moves. You got all the opportunity to bring in these different guys in to Dove Valley and show teams that, hey, you know what? We're really high on these. But if you could get a team now to get desperate and really fall in love with a Dwayne Haskins or a Drew Lock and want to trade with you and give you another first round pick in next year's draft, now you're just really winning. I mean, that would just be another check mark. Okay. Keep going, John, and keep going. Like, so I love the fact that the Broncos are doing that because now, you know, teams are going to look at it and say, hey, you know what? If we're really high on Dwayne Haskins, if we're really high on Drew Lock and they're there at 9, you know, the Broncos are going to take them. So we got to get the Broncos on the phone and give them whatever we need to give them in order to get to that 10th overall pick to pick our guy.
To get our guy. Wouldn't it be great, because Cecil said in there, if the Raiders take Drew Lock at 4, because that's just going to bump a really quality player at another position back to 10. So Cecil talked about it.
You think the Raiders are looking at him at 4? You know the Raiders
have 9 first-round picks this year?
They got 3, so, I mean, do you
that's
really
true.
Think that it's
they don't
it's
have to take
four?
Him at 4. He's going to slide. That's right. Oh, the Raiders in there.
I mean, because I look at it like this, okay?
Maybe it won't be 4. They can afford to take him at 4, though, because they've got 2 other picks.
Yeah, but I mean, this is how I look at it. Dwayne Haskins was supposed to be the best quarterback in this draft, the most complete. Well, we know Arizona's really high on Kyler Murray, so there's a high probability that he might go 1 overall. So now Dwayne Haskins was linked to the Giants. Well, now, if you don't go to the Giants, that means that you're going past 10 or 10 or past 10. So that would be the first quarterback. Then who really – if the Miami Dolphins get Dwayne Haskins, I mean, Washington could easily say, no, we're not going to draft a first-round quarterback because we owe Alex Smith all this money and we're banking on him coming back.
And they have Case Keenum.
We just gave him a contract next year. And on top of that, we just traded for Case Keenum. So he could – a guy like Drew Lock could easily pass into the high teens now, and now the Raiders already got the capital. If they need to move up in the high teens, or are they just going to wait till the late 20s to go get a guy like that?
I hope they do. They have a quarterback already, and they're going to create an unnecessary quarterback competition. Orlando, every time I talk to you, the first thing you always say, it's just Devin White. This is your favorite person, I think, on the planet right now. You are such a fan of him. You have a jersey of him. I've seen you wear it. It's amazing. Should they trade up?
You really think I got a Devin White jersey?
Yeah, I've seen you wear it. Should they trade up to get him?
You know, LSU and Miami played in the opener this year.
I know, you wore a Devin White jersey.
I wore a Miami Hurricane jersey, and we lost. So I definitely do not have a Devin White jersey. But the kid is a spectacular football player. And, you know, he could shore up that inside linebacker position for the Denver Broncos for years to come. He's a three-down linebacker. He's always going to be on the field. But there's also a guy in that draft class in Devin Bush that although didn't run as fast as Devin White, has the same instance as Devin White. So I would be happy with a Devin Bush. I think it's going to cost you a little bit too much to trade up. I mean, because you got
Tampa Bay
sitting there at 5. So it's going to cost you a little bit too much, because how it's looking right now in Tampa is looking that they might take Devin White with that 5th overall pick. So now the Broncos would have to call the Oakland Raiders to trade up. I mean, you know, let's not do that. Let's move ahead.
10-4 would be a lot.
Yeah, let's not do that. So I think Devin Bush will be just as good as his player for the Broncos, and I don't think that you need to trade away the draft capital or trade away these players that you have on this roster in order to move up in a top 5 position to get a guy like Devin White.
And could still fill the same position,
yes,
the same need. Orlando, the Broncos with the draft coming up with 10, they do have some flexibility. Should they be targeting the best athlete in the draft? And we got a name that's next. John Davis, a big Orlando Franklin, sitting in for Stokely and Zach today. Our guy D-Mac, as always, has an idea for the draft, and it's kind of a different perspective than a lot of people are looking at. I think it's very interesting. Let's see what D-Mac has to say and what he thinks we should be doing in the draft at 10.
So you have some hard, tough nose. By the way, have you watched DK Metcalf block? That dude steamroll suckers at the line of scrimmage. That guy is like not afraid of contact. But I'm telling you, DK Metcalf is Josh Gordon, like a good Josh Gordon.
So he's talking about DK Metcalf, wide receiver. Guy had an incredible combine, really, really fast. He's a wide receiver from Ole Miss who just screwed up your bracket. But so DK Metcalf, kind of a speedy receiver. He doesn't have a lot of receptions in college, but he's got a lot of yards per reception. So what do you think about them going for that kind of home run hitter?
What is he saying, like, as far as a Josh Gordon, as far as Josh Gordon off the field? Josh Gordon?
No. He's basically saying Josh Gordon without...
On the field.
Yeah, on the field. That game-breaking speed kind of really team struggle. What would you think about at 10 going with a guy like DK Metcalf? Adding another body to the receiver room.
Big body receiver, right? Just
He's not huge.
Yeah,
he's 6'4", 225. He is a big... I thought he was like 6'2". He's bigger than I thought. He's a big dude.
Here's my thing. I mean, we just got rid of him. We just got rid of Demaryius Thomas.
Okay, so there could be a big wide receiver,
right? And the reason why we got rid of him was because we're saying, hey, you know what? Cortland Sutton was the exact same guy. You know, we polished off his ability to run routes. That he's going to become a better player. He's going to be a huge player for the Broncos organization. I just don't know at 10 now. I mean, if you love him, take him, but I just don't know why you would go in that direction, because you had an opportunity to have two big body wide receivers, and Cortland Sutton wasn't getting the playing time that you wanted him to get. So, I mean, if they do make that transaction, it's a bold move. If they go up and get him at 10, because now it's saying, hey, you know what? I mean, how does it work with Emmanuel Sanders, with DK Metcalf and Cortland Sutton? Now, is Emmanuel exclusively playing just the slot position? And
that's a great question.
What's going to happen later on? I mean, because almost Deshaun Hamilton almost gets no reps at slot. So now in a year, when Emmanuel Sanders is up, when Chris Harris Jr. is up, when Justin Simmons is up, when Will Parks is up, I mean, you might be able to keep one, maybe two out of those four. So I would think that you would want Deshaun Hamilton to get as many reps as possible this year to know moving forward, hey, is this the guy that we're going to play? I mean, now Tim Patrick almost just literally gets buried on the bench. It's a lot of moving parts. And do I think they could add a wide receiver and help out this team? Yes. But now I think the whole DK Metcalf wide receiver, now you'd have three wide receivers basically all competing for that wide receiver number one position.
Yeah, and if you've been listening all week, you know, every day D-Mac and Zach almost end up in a wrestling match over TJ Hawkinson tight end. That's Zach's guy. D-Mac wants DK Metcalf, and they kind of have the same. I like the approach. If you think this guy can be Travis Kelce with TJ Hawkinson, you got to take him. But if you think this guy can be Josh Gordon, and D-Mac makes an interesting point.
But I mean, here's my thing, right? Do we even know what Josh Gordon is
as a player?
I mean,
those years in Cleveland, he was phenomenal.
Yeah, a couple years, and then all of a sudden, it's just like you're out of the league. Do we even know what he can be? I mean, that's the scary part, and that's why you got to be like, man, if you're giving him comparisons, if you're giving DJ Metcalf comparisons to Josh Gordon, and we don't even really know what Josh Gordon could be because we haven't seen him play consistently each and every year and be available week in, week out. At that point, if you really believe that he has that type of potential with what we've already seen of Josh Gordon, yeah, you go get him.
It makes sense.
If he's there at 10, you go get him because now you're talking about a generational player. You're talking about a Megatron type of guy that's going to be on your roster for the next 10 years, and it's just going to be 1,000 yards, 1,000 yards, 1,000 yards, year in, year out. You're just going to be like, okay, yep, we know we got 1,000 going to him. Hopefully we're able to get double-digit touchdowns. You know, and that's how you're going to look at it. So if you could get a guy like that, yeah, but...
I don't think it's as crazy as some people think it is, D-Mac's suggestion, because if he is Josh Gordon, D-Mac makes a great point right there, too, that he says he blocks. Now, if you go back, I know it's going back 20 years, but we've gone down memory lane a bunch today. But those Broncos Super Bowls, one of the most unsung hero parts of those Super Bowls, those teams, was Rod Smith and Ed McCaffrey blocked. They were wide receivers that blocked. And I mean, McCaffrey, my favorite Ed McCaffrey play is a play where he threw a block. Yeah. Rod Smith didn't even catch a touchdown, a pass in Super Bowl 32, but he blocked.
So your favorite Rod Smith play is a block?
No, Ed McCaffrey.
Oh, so you're saying Ed McCaffrey.
I'll show you the highlight. It's outstanding.
When you have a receiver that loves to block, I mean, they can make highlight play after highlight play because literally – you start running a DB off the field, and now you start getting a real good feel for it. The DB's in his back pedal, and you run right up on him, and you just pancake him because you know it's a running play. But initially, with your release off the line of scrimmage, you made it look like you were running hard to go catch the ball. I mean, you could really embarrass cats out there. And it's very important to have wide receivers that will go in there on some of these outside hidden plays, which we know the Broncos are going to do. They're going to be more of a zone scheme, so they're going to look to get the ball to the edge. If you could have a wide receiver that can line up out wide and then push up the field a little bit, but also go in and go crack a linebacker or crack a safety and literally take him out to play and put that running back on that cornerback, it's going to benefit this team tremendously because I'm going to take Philip Lindsay against the corner. I'm going to take Royce Freeman against a corner. I'm going to take Devontae Booker against a corner. You know, when the safety is able to come downhill now, and it's a little bit different. But 9 times out of 10, if I could put Philip Lindsay on a corner that these guys traditionally don't love to tackle, I'm going to take that matchup each and every day. So if you have a wide receiver that can literally go out there and really block and annihilate these guys at the second level and the third level, and as far as his blocking ability, it's only going to get your run game that much better. But it's always going to have these DBs thinking like, well, what is he doing on this play? Is he blocking me? Is he trying to run a route?
Oh, so there's a game within a game?
Exactly.
That's what you like to say. See, I pay attention to you. So you said this real quick. I like what you said with what DK Metcalf, and I think it's a lot of what D-Mac's approach is, and it makes sense. It would be bold.
Oh, yeah, it would be bold.
Because he's a home run hitter.
It would almost say to, hey, Emmanuel, like, we thank you for the 6 years. That's almost what it would say, because Emmanuel's the guy that's going to be up next year, and he could play the outside and the inside, but traditionally in his career here with the Denver Broncos, he's played outside. And you know Courtland Sutton cannot play inside. You know he cannot play. You know DK Metcalf is not going to be playing inside. We're not going to put guys that are 6'2 with these big body frames out there. No, we're going to put them on the outside. But it would almost literally say, hey, Emmanuel, thank you. I appreciate it. But unfortunately, we're going to not re-sign you. I think there's bigger needs than the wide receiver room.
Right.
And, I mean, I don't know if you just go into the draft and say, hey, you know, we're just going to draft the best guy that's available. I mean, I think you have to look at your needs and look to get this team better, because you don't want to draft a guy and then all of a sudden, like, you're loaded in one room, but guys are sitting on the bench. No, you got to draft guys that are going to come in here and play for you right now.
That's a great point. Talking about D-Mac's idea to bring in DK Metcalf, you said it. It's a bold move. He's a home run hitter. But one thing I want to bring up, too, about bringing in DK Metcalf, you were all for Tyrell Williams coming to Denver. And that's another big 6'4 burner, you know, a big body that's very, very fast.
Yeah.
So you wanted Tyrell Williams in
there. Tyrell Williams, undrafted rookie free agent.
Wow. Oh, so okay. So why take a guy at 10?
He was an undrafted free agent.
Is that right?
Yes. Tyrell Williams was an undrafted free agent. He had some shoulder issues in college. I think there's something where he might have tore like both of his labrums. And like literally was undrafted. And I mean, God, I had a great year. Had some great success early on in his career, but that's when Keenan Allen had got hurt for the whole year for the Chargers, and then also that's before they drafted Mike Williams in the first round.
Okay, so here's my question for you. Do you think Joe Flacco would rather have a DK Metcalf, maybe a Josh Gordon? I know we're putting lofty expectations on these guys, or a TJ Hockenson, a tight end that blocks, a tight end that catches, a tight end that's going to create that mismatch in the middle of the field? I think it's TJ Hockenson.
And I would agree with you 100%. And the reason why is when I look at the film with TJ Hockenson, this guy, not only does he block, he loves to block. A tight end is very important in the run game, week in, week out. And for him also to have the ability of catching the ball down the field, TJ Hockenson is a complete package at the tight end position. And right now I look at the roster. Is Emmanuel Sanders, if Emmanuel Sanders comes back from his Achilles injury,
which we expect him
which
to,
we fully expect and know and believe he can, is Emmanuel Sanders a complete player?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Courtland Sutton, if he gets a little bit better at his shorter route runnings when he's running the 5 yards out. And we know he can run for the deep ball. We know he can run these big long routes. We know he's a greyhound out there. At the X position and just literally could flat out fly. If he could get better at his shorter routes, is Courtland Sutton a complete player?
He's on his way. He's close. Okay.
Tell me what person from the tight end room that we've seen with all the injuries and not being available, but also them on the field. Tell me what complete player do we have in that tight end room as of right now?
As of right now.
That's on this roster. I'm talking about Jeff Hyman, Jake Butt, Troy Fumagalli.
It would be, when healthy, Jake Butt. He's a block and he likes to catch, but we want to see Jake back, obviously. But right now, you know, that's still rehabbing probably. Yeah.
And I would argue that it's still unknown because of the health injuries, that if he's a complete player
we haven't
not.
Seen enough. Okay.
I haven't seen enough.
Sure.
So that's why I would take a guy like TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, you've seen it, and it's John Davis, Orlando Franklin. We're talking to Zach, D-Mac, DK Metcalf, TJ Hockenson. But the way a tight end can just kill a team, the way a tight end can just take over a game and punish a defense. I mean, we saw it this year. We saw it happen to us this year in the 49ers game with George Kittle. It's much harder for defenses to neutralize a tight end than a wide receiver.
Man, it's a matchup nightmare because all these tight ends are 6'5", 6'6". And now you combine that with a guy that loves to block, but also runs routes great, has nice soft hands. I mean, who's the last person that the Broncos have had like that? Shannon Sharp? And that caliber?
Yeah,
you can't put Julius Thomas in that caliber because JT didn't want to block.
Ever.
But great, great receiving tight end. Phenomenal.
Right.
You know, could flat out run away from linebackers and just out jump cornerbacks if you wanted to put a smaller, more athletic person on there. Created mismatches in that aspect. But when it came to running the ball, there was times where you're like, hey, Virgil, you're in. Hey, Julius, come off the field.
Mm-hmm.
With TJ Hawkinson now, you have the ability to have a guy and say, hey, you stay out there for the run plays, and you stay out there for the run plays, the passing plays as well. Now, these teams can't get a beat on what we're doing. With Julius Thomas, Peyton Manning, we were just way better than everybody. Half the time, people knew that we were throwing the ball. They didn't care. Because when you got a guy like Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, Wes Welker, and then you got Julius Thomas on the field, I mean, pick your poison. Somebody's going to get open because you only could probably double team one, maybe two guys.
Mm-hmm.
But now if you get a guy like TJ Hawkinson, you don't have to worry about ever switching anything up. And you don't have to worry about, hey, if they do choose to double team him because he is a Travis Kelce type, or he is a Hunter Henry type, or he is one of these great tight ends. Now you could literally go and look to the outside now, because if you're double teaming TJ Hawkinson, well, guess what? Emmanuel Sanders is one-on-one. If you're doubling TJ Hawkinson, chances are Cortland Sutton might be one-on-one as well. And now I'm going to take that matchup with Cortland Sutton and whoever he has on him at cornerback, because he's 6'2 and jumps out the gym and can flat out fly.
So kind of like, and we're not saying the Broncos will be the 2013 Denver Broncos. Let's be very clear here. But that was one of the biggest problems defenses had, is it was a pick your poison.
Yeah.
At some point, it was like Decker's going to end up one-on-one because that's just what has to happen.
Yeah, somebody's going to end up one-on-one. And when you get a dynamic threat at the tight end position, that's what it creates. Is Emmanuel Sanders going to get one-on-one opportunities? Yeah. He's not going to get as much one-on-one opportunities as you would like unless you get a dominant tight end threat on this team. Because when you get a dominant tight end threat on this team, now teams got to really focus on the tight end, because typically his routes are in the middle of the field and going straight down and just showcasing their athletic ability when the ball goes up in the middle of the field to jump over a smaller DB or to just outrun a linebacker.
And this is... I don't know a lot of people. I don't want people to get on me. Tom Brady's great. He was going to be the greatest of all time no matter what happened. But I think a big argument to the second leg of his career that's been so wildly successful is Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, I agree.
Is having that guy be a constant mismatch every single week. Now, I'm aware Brady was able to win without him when he was hurt, so relax, Patriots fans. But, having that all the time, it ended up being the play that put him in a position to win in this past Super Bowl was that play to Gronk that got him inside.
Unbelievable throw, unbelievable catch.
Yeah.
But also, when you talk about your tight ends, let's just talk about the stature. Let's just talk about physically how they're normally built. Yeah, you'll have one or two wide receivers that are 6'5", 6'6". You know, you have Randy Moss, Megatron, these bigger receivers. Mm-hmm. But tight end, that's what they always are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're always 6'5", 6'6". And now you mix that with some athletic ability, oh man, you could have your pick. You could literally do whatever you want now when you have a guy that's big, that is that big, because their catch radius is so huge now.
Real quick, I want you to tell me this. What's it like playing next to a tight end that's 6'5", 250 that can block as an offensive lineman?
Oh, you love it. I mean, me and Virgil Green, we used to steamroll cats. I used to love blocking with Virg because he took pride in the blocking. He didn't care. He's like, okay, like, I'd love to get the ball, but I mean, I'm going to block. I'm going to let this guy remember me. At the end of the day, he's going to remember me. He's going to say, hey, 85, good job blocking today, man. You gave me a fit. And he took pride in it. I mean, anytime you can have a tight end that literally takes pride, as much pride in blocking as they do in running routes and catching the ball and catching touchdowns, that's when you got something special at that position. And TJ Hawkinson has that ability to be something special at the tight end position.
So as much as we're excited for the Travis Kelce receiving numbers, this could be a guy that could help the Broncos offensive line, which has struggled in recent years. So there's a lot of reason I like the TJ Hawkinson. My guy Zach Bias convinced me.
In Orlando, some kind of breaking news. Nothing's official yet, but Ian Rappaport tweeted today, the Colts may not be done adding edge help. Sources said they hosted former Broncos first rounder Shane Ray. It's a day after they added Justin Houston. Shane Ray, Shaq Barrett got on with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But Shane Ray, how do you like him out in Indianapolis playing probably opposite Justin Houston?
That's what he'll be playing? Is that what we're saying?
I mean, I don't know
Shane
who
Ray's got a, he's got a lot to prove. I mean,
so he wouldn't be a starter.
He was a former first round pick, and the Indianapolis Colts got Jabal Sheard out there.
Oh,
and
you're
he
right.
Came out with me, and he went to Pittsburgh, and he was drafted by the Browns, and then after he left the Browns, went to New England, won a Super Bowl at New England.
Wow, are you writing his biography? Then, this is incredible.
No, he's one of my boys. He's one of my
is
boys.
Is he a Hurricane?
No, he's not a Hurricane. He's from South Florida.
Okay.
And then he went to Pitt, but agent, and we worked out with the same place at the same place with Pete Bomarito for combine training, but he's already there. So I would think that it would be Jabal Sheard and Justin Houston would be the starters, and Shane Ray is getting looked at right now to come in as a backup type, like
similar
same type what he did here, but happy for him, you know, literally happy for him, because at the end of the day, you know, you got another opportunity to play the sport that you know and you love, and you know, hopefully he's able to catch on and actually turn his career a little bit around if Indianapolis does decide to extend a contract to him.
So, and it's nothing official. Yeah, like you said, if they decide to, there's nothing official. Why not give him a look here on a prove-it deal? They don't have...
No. That was your first-round pick. You wanted to give him a look. You would have took up his fifth-year option.
Well, this is going to cost way less than the fifth year. This is going to cost, significantly less than the fifth-year option.
But that's essentially what we did with Bradley Roby. I mean, we wanted to give him a look. Mm-hmm. You know, this was the first time that this past year that he was going to get an opportunity to play a substantial amount of football, where after... You know, seeing and getting that look at him, we decided to move on. With Shane Ray, it's a lot different. You know, you had Shane Ray here, and yeah, he was behind DeMarcus Ware. DeMarcus Ware had some injuries. Shane Ray got pushed in and played a lot. And then, you know, last year now, it's just like, okay, well, you know, you get before the draft, it's like, okay, you know what? Shane Ray's going to be healthy. We got Shaq Barrett. Those guys can play opposite of Vaughn. You know, we got our two guys. But no, the Broncos still elected to use the fifth overall pick and going to get a guy like Bradley Chubb. So that told you immediately that they were done on Shane Ray.
What if you could get him for 1 year, $3 million? I mean, he knows the guys.
No, DeMarcus Walker. Let's see what he could do. Let's see what Jeff Holland could do.
Well, Jeff Holland.
We got two starters in Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. Let's see what these other guys could do.
Okay, yeah, DeMarcus Walker, I think they want on the line. I think that's what they want. But you're right, Jeff Holland's a guy, and he kind of showed us some stuff at the end of last year. So no Shane Ray back
in. I mean, Jeff Holland was a guy that the Broncos elected to activate, you know, and say, hey, you know what, we're gonna put this guy up on a 46-man roster, where Shane Ray was a guy that the Broncos said, hey, we're going to healthy scratch this guy, and we're going to give Jeff Holland a look and see what we could do with him.
One of the misconceptions I think people might have about Shane Ray, and I disagree with it, he's not a bust. I think he contributed to that Super Bowl team. He did. And he came out the next year and had like 8 sacks. Yeah. To me, a bust is a guy who literally doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Paxton Lynch is a bust.
Well, everybody's going to say that he's a bust because the rapid decline that he experienced when he was here with the Broncos. You know, when he came out and had contributed to that Super Bowl winning team, and all of a sudden DeMarcus Ware retires, and then Shane Ray has that 8-sack season in the second year. At that point, you know, you got to be feeling good about him. You got to say, okay, you know what? If we're able to create some depth, you know, let's do it. But then the Broncos go get Bradley Chubb. And then immediately Bradley Chubb's here, and it's just, whoa, we know Shane Ray can't beat this guy out. You know, and Bradley Chubb is the starter from day one. There was no question. There was no controversy. And these are two first-round picks. You have a first-round pick in last year's draft in 2018, and you have a former first-round pick in what would that have been, the 2015 draft?
With Shane Ray. Yeah, you never played
with
him.
Yeah,
so, 2015.
So, but even when there was critical times, last year, when there was critical times when the Broncos' defense was going against teams and they were in third and long situations, and the Broncos decided to go to their hybrid defense or put in more of their defensive end or their outside linebackers type of players on the field, Shane Ray wasn't the guy that got the nod. it was Shaq Barrett now that they would put on the three technique and line him up over one of the guards or over one of the centers. They would add Shaq Barrett to the Von Miller and Bradley Chubb combination. It wasn't Shane Ray. It wasn't thought about. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't a full bust, but over the last 2 years of his career here with the Denver Broncos, he definitely did not play up to that first-round talent or okay. that first-round pick that the Broncos used on him.
Yeah, they did, they probably didn't get the 10 years you want out of a first-round pick. But I want to say this, too, about Shane Ray. No, but with Shane Ray, I want to say this. He hurt him. He got hurt pretty bad, and he rushed to get back that season to help out a team that was losing. And he tried to get back out there for his teammates. I think Shane Ray, I like Shane Ray, and I hope he brings it back because I think he's a good player. Orlando, a lot of fun the last 2 days, my man. Rocking for us. Thank you to Steven behind the glass. Steven, so good.
Hey, guys. I truly enjoyed today and yesterday, and I look forward to our shows on the weekend. And now I could just continue to tell you, just relax, baby, okay? Just relax.
There he does it again. This guy's got a big mouth. The Drive is next.